Thank you, Brother Bill, and good to see you this morning. I appreciate the message that Brother Pelletier preached this morning. He laid the foundation for what I want to follow with in the message. You know, when you're in a conference or in a meeting like this, there's always little butterflies running around. Is this the right message for the occasion? Or should I preach this message over here? Well, I'm going to study this one a little bit, and I studied a little bit. It just doesn't ring a bell, so I go back to the other one. But I don't know. I'm glad I'm preaching tomorrow morning or this morning, because that way I can get the jump on them and they'll not take away my message. But this morning when I came in and Brother Pelletier preached, I said, amen. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 9. Now, I know this is about a blind man. This is a miracle. In fact, it's so that God can manifest His glory and power through this man's life. But I want to look at something else that caught my attention many years ago as a young man. I want to look at the determination of this young fellow, or middle-aged fellow. It just says he was a blind man. I don't know how old he was. I know this, he's never seen a sunrise, because he was born blind. Never seen a sunset. Never seen his mother's face. He's felt the touch of her hand on a fevered brow. He's felt the touch of her lips as a baby, but he's never seen her face. Born blind. I've often thought, if I had to lose one of my faculties, would I want to lose my hearing, my eyesight, my speech? I think that I would rather lose my hearing, and I am. I had cataract surgery last year, but it didn't help my hearing a bit in the world. But my doctor that did the surgery said, you can read lips better, can't you, Brother Hayes? I said, oh, yeah, I can read lips better. But to be blind, to be born blind. I was in Africa one day and saw an African walking gingerly beside a building. And he turned and walked through a door. There was no tune whatsoever. He was blind. And it dawned on me that he had developed his own radar, or sonar, I guess it is, bouncing the sound off of the wall, and when he came in front of the door, the sound changed, and he turned and walked through just like he had eyesight. Blind people, their ears become very sensitive, to the point that they can pick up the sound of your shoes and put a name to the person. How you doing, brother? I'm doing all right, brother. How did you know it was me? I've heard your shoes before. So here's a man that was born blind. I don't know how he got there in verse number 1. I don't know if he knew that Jesus was coming to town that particular day, or if it was just his regular spot where he begged every day. You know, blindness had reduced him to being a beggar. Not by choice. You'll have to forgive me, I'm still growing, my voice is changing. But circumstances. He's a beggar by circumstances and not choice. He would rather be working. He would rather be able to associate and interact with people. But he can't. He's blind. He's limited. I don't know if he got someone to bring him there that morning because he knew there was a possibility that Jesus would pass that way. I'm sure he had heard of the miracles and that blinded eyes had been opened, twisted limbs had been straightened. In fact, people had been raised from the dead. But ever how he got there, this morning he's seated beside the road. And if you notice in verse number 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. By the way, there's a great soul winning principle right there. If you don't see, you're not going to do. And if you're going to see, you got to be moving. You got to be passing by. You've got to be constantly looking for the opportunity to be a blessing and a help to someone. As Jesus passed, he was not a rocking chair Christian. He was always on the move, looking for an opportunity to serve. I hope you are like that. And as Dr. Comfort said this morning, I'm one of those that has mentioned about you young folk. I get in a lot of Christian schools. Put quotation marks around the Christian. I don't see any difference in many of them than what we do in the public school. In fact, I've seen young people in a public school that had more standards and convictions and determination than young people in a Christian school. But how he got there is not the point. He's there. And as Jesus passed by, I can in my imagination, I am not adding to the scriptures. I'm just imagining the scenery. See, I grew up when there was no television. I grew up with the Merida bread program every afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Lone Ranger. Out of the pages of history come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. Man, I had to paint all the scenery in my mind as I listened to the Lone Ranger and Tonto. So I'm going to paint some scenery. I can imagine as this man is seated beside the roadside, all at once he hears commotion to his left. It seems like there's a crowd forming. That would be good for him as a beggar, but there's something different about the crowd. They're very excited. I can almost see him as someone passing, Benjamin, is that you? What's happening down there on the left? Jesus is coming. Benjamin, is he coming this way? And it's not long before the crowd gets closer and closer. And all at once, he hears the strangest pair of sandals he's ever heard. And they stop right in front of him. Everybody goes stone quiet. There's not even a whisper. Should he stand up or keep his seat? What's going on? Why is it so quiet? As the sandals move in front of him, just when he's expecting something to happen, an important theological question, like where did Cain get his wife, is asked not by an unbeliever, but by one of the Bible school students. One of the disciples said, Lord, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, isn't that an appropriate Bible question to ask at that particular moment? All of us have sinned, folks. There's none good. No, not one. I came in this world at 4 pounds and 4 ounces. Yes, I've gained 196 pounds since. But I came into this world at 4 pounds and 4 ounces, a sinner. An innocent sinner. I didn't know I was a sinner until I reached the age of accountability. But I was a sinner. I was a little liar when I came in. My mother could put me down on the bed over there by myself and put pillows around me to keep me from rolling. Go out of the room, and as soon as she closed the door, and I'd start in. She'd come back in, I'd be red in the face, veins standing out, turning a little bit blue. She'd pick me up. Happy as a lark. Put me back down. Start to close the door. The same scenario. What's wrong with me? I'm a liar. I'm telling her if she doesn't stay with me, I'm going to die. Listen, folks, I've had it made for 9 months. I've had my own, well, not 9 months. I was about 7 and a half. But I had my own little compartment. Constant temperature. Eat when I wanted to. Sleep when I wanted to. Jog when I wanted to. And now here I am in a cold, cruel world. And everybody wants to leave me. That's not the message. We are all sinners. That's not the important question for this moment. And the Lord Jesus answered it appropriately. He said in verse number 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then he gives just a little bit of a cutting edge to these disciples. Fellas, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Did I quote it right? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. My business is to show the glory of God. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're not saved by works, but young people, when we get saved, there better be some good works. How do I even know you're saved? Except I see what you do. What you're looking at here this morning is not me. This is the old house. The me is on the inside. I'm really nice looking on the inside. But here on the outside, some of you, when you're talking to me, don't know if I'm listening to you or someone else over here, because I've got one eye that goes off in this direction. This is the one you want to look at. If this eye is pointed toward you, this is security on this side, making sure nobody comes up. I am on the inside. So, the Lord Jesus said, listen, fellas, let's quit. So many times we, as young people, get so discouraged and aggravated when people in the church question everything we do. And I know we old people sometimes get a little bit crabby. We just get to where we don't have no fun anymore. And we don't want you to have any fun. No, we do. But the Lord Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it... Notice verse number 6. Jesus did one of the most unsanitary things that people can do. In fact, if I did it here in this auditorium right now, I would see a lot of raised eyebrows and be in trouble with Dr. Comfort. But he spat on the ground. And then he stooped down and took his finger and mixed the spittle and the clay with his finger. Now, the fellow's keen sense of hearing picks up comments that are being whispered all through the group. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I thought he was supposed to be the Messiah. Why would he do something like that? The same response we get together about the blood of Christ cleansing, washing away our sin. There are many churches today, old line denominational churches, that have taken all of the songs with the blood out of their hymn books. You can go to their church and never hear the blood mentioned. Then he walks, for the first time, he touches the blind man and takes the spittle and the clay and rubs on his eyes. And the blind man reaches up. No. No, don't do that. No, I'd rather stay blind. I'm making it up. You're following me, aren't you? In the scripture. He took the clay and spittle and rubbed on his eyes. And then said to him, go to the pool of Siloam, or Siloam, ever how you pronounce it, and wash. I can see old brother Pharisee get him a fish box, put it there on the edge of the crowd, and folks, did we not tell you that this man could do nothing? What he does do is by the power of Beelzebub. He's embarrassed this young man in front of his parents, his family, his friends. He can't finish the job. Now he's sending him off somewhere else. Did the young fellow just say, Lord, I just soon not to. I thought you were going to, like Naaman in the Old Testament. I thought you were going to strike your hand over the place and say the word. No. This young fellow had determination. Some of you this morning made commitments through the message that Brother Mike preached. And as he was preaching, I was just shouting on the inside, wanting to get up right in the middle of it and start saying, have you got the determination to stick with your commitment? Because the devil is going to make this trip from now on, after your commitment, a real roller coaster. He's going to do everything he can to discourage you. Can't you see this young Benjamin, where are you? Let's go, son. Take me down to the pool of Siloam. Can't you see the people putting their arm around him as he passes through? We're sorry for you, son. We're so embarrassed for you and your... That's all right. No problem. If we'd have known you wanted your eyesight, we'd have got you down to the Lions Club and seeing if they couldn't get you some new glasses or get you some corneal transplants or something. That's all right. Just leave me alone. And he goes to the pool of Siloam and washes and came out of there seeing. Now, when you first got saved, where was the first place you wanted to go? I remember when I first got saved, Brother Beale and I have similar backgrounds. His dad was a drunkard. My dad was a drunkard. He wears bibbed overalls. I wear Bill Billbrook. Not in church, but at home. But when I got saved, I was so excited. Wanted to go home and tell my family. And apparently that's what this young fellow did. He took off and headed for home. But the problem is Mary and Hannah and Elizabeth were hanging out close. His neighbors. And they were looking down the road, or one of them happened to see him come and say, is not that the boy that was blind? Look at him running. Son, look out for that. He missed it. He missed that tree. He can't see a lip. Hey, son, come here. What's happened to you? Somebody else said, no, that's not him. It just looks like him. He said, I am he. Come here. What happened? Now, he's trying to get home to tell his folks he got saved or got his eyes open. And the neighbors intercept him. They said, what in the world happened to you? Now, notice something. Verse number 11. His first testimony. You say, well, he hadn't been to Bible school. It won't make no difference. The reason I don't go on visitation, brother, is I don't know much scripture. Don't make no difference. Just tell them what happened to you. Verse number 11, he gives his first testimony. What happened to you? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Then they'd ask another important question. Where is he? And he gave an unacceptable answer as far as they were concerned. I don't know. You mean somebody has... Well, yeah. He put the clay on my eyes uptown, but he told me to go to the pool of Siloam, and when I washed, I don't know where he went. Son, you've not been down there to that Independent Baptist Church, have you? You've not been worshiping down the road down there with those folk that believe the Bible, have you? We better take you to your preacher. He's trying to get home, folk. The neighbors have intercepted him. Now they're going to take him down to the old home church where they never did anything in the world for him. And they take him to the Pharisees. And when he gets down to where the Pharisees are, verse number 13, they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. He gives his second testimony. I like this. He doesn't even have a Bible school certificate. He hadn't even been ordained. He doesn't even have a license to preach. But he can sure testify. Verse number 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore some of the Pharisees, by the way, that's plural, right? So they had the senior pastor, the assistant pastor, the minister of music, and the minister of youth, and the minister of financial responding. The Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees said, this man couldn't be of God that did this because he did it on the Sabbath day. Some of the other Pharisees that had gone to a more conservative school said, well, we know that you couldn't do that if God was not with you. And so there was a division among his preachers. Can you imagine coming down there to your home church for them to straighten you out doctrinally? And now they can't agree on what happened to you. You just standing there, rubbernecking, back and forth, listening to your preacher. Now, I know most of you came out of a good church. All of you, probably. There may be some of you that joined one of these good churches to come to Camp Barnabas because a friend invited you. Your preachers wouldn't be doing this. But his preachers were doing it. I mean, here's a young fellow that needs some peers to look up to. He needs someone that he can trust, someone he can put his confidence. And here they are arguing back and forth about what happened to him. Isn't it interesting how people can always tell you what God's will is for your life, even after God has called you personally to do something? So then they said, in verse 15, they asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. And of course, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because they keep not the Sabbath days. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Verse number 13, when he said that, they said, we don't even believe you were born blind to start with. You've been a fake. You've been sitting out there with a little cup on the street, just with your eyes closed, taking people's money. We don't even believe you were born blind. We're going to call your mom and daddy. We're going to call your parents. I believe for the first time there was his heart began to pick up. Buddy, if anybody will stand up for me, it'll be my mama and my daddy. Don't you count on it if you've gotten saved. Here comes mama. That's my mama. Oh, she's pretty. I took out the daddy. But he sure picked out a beautiful girl. As they come in, the Pharisees say to the parents of this young fella in verse number 19, and they ask them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Yeah, he's our son. We've got his birth certificate. How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know not that this, or we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, he's old enough, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. Now, I hate to say this about parents, but they will lie. Preacher, do my parents lie sometimes? Hate to say it. We do. And one of the best things we could do as parents is when we do, and the Holy Spirit convicts our heart, is to come back to you and set you down and say, sweetheart, I didn't quite tell it like it's supposed to be, and I want you to forgive me. Parents are supposed to do that? Well, I did. In fact, I sat down with my daughter one time. I was crying like a baby, and she had her arm around me. Daddy, that's all right. I understand. We all make mistakes. She's comforting me. They lied. You say, how do you know they lied? The next verse tells me they lied. They did it out of fear of the Jews. For the Jews had said that if any man confess that he was Christ, they would be put out of the synagogue. You see, mom and daddy All they had as far as religion is concerned was a baptismal card, church membership card, and their good works. And if they were kicked out of the synagogue, they'd die and go to hell in their thinking. They didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. And so again, they said to the Pharisees, you ask him, he's of age. And so in verse 24, then again the man that was blind, or again they called the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I love these next two verses. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Call him anything you want to call him. I'm going to call him a prophet because he opened my eyes. Now, young folk and old folk, are you following the progression of this thing? I'm going to tell you, most of us would have just, before now, said, man, it was a lot easier to be blind than it is to get my eyes open. I ain't never had so much trouble in all my life till I got saved and joined that independent Baptist church. It hadn't been nothing but trouble. I used to go over and sit on the porch with my neighbors. They don't even want me to come over there now. I go to my mom and daddy's place, and it's just very tight and cold. Son, how you doing? Good to have you. Mama's prepared the meal. Get out as soon as you can. Have you got the determination to stick with your commitments this morning? You're going to go back home and tell your mom and daddy what kind of commitment you made. Have you got the determination to stick with it? Some of you don't have it. The night I got saved, or the day that I got saved, as I was walking out of the building down in eastern North Carolina, I overheard one of my aunts say, he'll never make it. He'll wind up like his daddy. He'll be a drunkard. I gritted my teeth, kept walking, and I said, I'll show you, you old biddy. You said you talked ugly. I had just gotten saved. She became one of my favorite aunts. When I went to the mission field, one of my other aunts, somebody said, why is he going to the mission field? She said, because he can't get a church here in America. And she was right. I still don't have a church. So young folk, have you got the determination to stick with it? Verse number 26, then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How did he open your eyes? I love this. He answered them, I've told you already. Told you twice. And you didn't hear me. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? Are you asking me about it one more time because you want to get saved? They said, listen, son, we're Moses' disciples. You may be his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. Then he said, I'm not going to tell you. I like that. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Just be kind, give your testimony, but if they won't listen to you, don't hang around. In fact, he has no choice about hanging around as we go ahead. And they said, you may be his disciple. We're Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses As for this fella, notice the disrespect. This fella, the man upstairs, JC, come on, young people, don't you humanize and desecrate the holy name of the Son of God. This fella, we know not where he's from. Now, verse 30, he preaches his first message. And I'm going to tell you, the boy did a good job. I don't know if I could have preached after going through what he's going through. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man that opened the eyes of one that was born blind, if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. Man, that tore those preachers up. Verse number 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Come here, son. Do you see that degree from Southwestern? Do you see that degree from Northwestern? Do you see that degree from Duke University? You were altogether born in sin. Are you trying to teach us? You little whippersnapper. Man, I wish I was blind again. But the best thing that ever happened to him, he became an independent Baptist. They, T-H-E-Y, plural. The pastor got him by the left shoulder and the left hip. The assistant pastor got him by the right shoulder and the right hip. The minister of music opened the folding door on that side, and the minister of finance opened the door on that side, and they said, 1, 2, 3, and cast him out. I'm going to go back home. You can't, son. Your mom and daddy don't want you. Well, I'll go stay with the neighbors. They're the ones that brought you down here to the preacher. I'll go back inside and talk with them. They're the ones that threw you out the door. But right then, he heard that strange pair of sandals again. They stopped in front of him. Jesus had heard they'd cast him out. Jesus always hears about your problems. And so, in verse number 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now, some preachers preach that this is where he got saved. I don't think so. He'd been through so much already. He's never seen the Lord Jesus. Now, he knows his voice. But he's got to make sure he's got the right feet with the right voice. Dost thou believe on the Lord Jesus? Who is he? I want to make sure that I'm believing in the right person. He said, it's the one that thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and worship Him. Young people, old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Brother Comfort and I had the privilege of sitting at his feet as young men. We'd walk into the Rhoda Havel Auditorium. If Dr. Bob Sr. was in the speaker's seat, man, it just bubbling and they sound like a beehive. Everybody's happy. If we walked into the auditorium and old Dr. Lewis was sitting in the speaker's feet, sleepy time today. But old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said there's no nation in the world any greater than determination. Our Father, thank you for the kindness of these young folk listening. And I do pray you'll give them the determination, the stickability, to stay with the stuff. I promise them there are going to be difficult times from neighbors, family, maybe church officials, but stay by their conviction that once I was blind, but now I see. In Jesus' name, amen.